Okay, good evening to everyone. It's good to meet with you again on this Sunday evening, on another day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I am glad to meet with each one of you on this Sunday, February the 27th in the year 2022. If you plan on getting something done this month, you need to hurry up. That includes me as well. So I'm glad to meet with you as we continue in our study of Luke. This evening, we will be going forward in Luke chapter 16. Our particular study today will come from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through the duration of the chapter. Chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And I already know we're not going to be able to cover that entire passage. As a matter of fact, all of God's word, you can never cover it all. You can never say it all. So I have to be led by the Spirit when to linger, per se, and when to go on. And that's how it was with Israel. The cloud would stop and they would stop. Then the cloud would move and they would move. And so that's how it is in teaching as well. Follow the cloud. So I'm glad to be with you this evening. I've been praying for each one of you. I ask you to continue to keep me in prayer as well. Pray ye one for the other. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you this evening. Glad to be here. Glad to meet with each other. Glad to see each other another Sunday evening, whether it's their picture, their name, or their number, are live via Zoom. We are glad to be here. And we gather together in the name of Jesus, giving glory to God. We thank you for being with us all the day long, for providing our every need, every breath we took, you gave it, Lord. Every step we made, you gave that. And all the blessings, Lord, the very vision in our eyes and hearing in our ears, everything comes from you. We, Lord God, get so used to things, but we want you to know that we are very, very grateful. And we know that all of our blessings come from the Lord. They come from you. And we want to give thanks. And we say hallelujah to your great goodness and hallelujah to your name. We thank you for the family of God. Thank you that we're part of the family of God. Thank you that we have been saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you for the great gift of salvation. And now, Lord, thank you for giving us a desire to want to read your word, to want to understand your word, but even more so to know you. That's what it's all about when it's all said and done, is that we may know you and the fellowship of your sufferings. We pray now that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. We'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. Forgive us of any sins, Lord, and anything that would stand in the way of hindering us from hearing from you. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We do pray for the absent part of us. Somebody wanted to be in class today and could not, for whatever the reason, we remember them in prayer. We know that you are God with them and God with us. You are that kind of God, God everywhere. And Lord God, we thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, open up your word now to us, that which you would have us to feed on, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. And we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening to those who have joined us as we continue in our study this evening from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through the end of the chapter, verse 31. When we first started studying this chapter, we found out that it's a continuation of other chapters that are linking together, where Jesus has been talking to the rich. This chapters have been full of contrast. Jesus talking to the rich, Jesus talking to the poor. And we're going to see in Luke chapter 16, here, and we've already found out, one theme of chapter 16 is the theme of money, the theme of finances. And in this theme, we want to be careful, and I want to make sure to say, it starts out talking about a rich man. And then it ends up, the chapter ends again, talking about a poor man as well as a rich man. But we want to make sure that we don't think, and I'm not saying that you do, but it could be taken for granted or insinuated just because someone is rich that they are not a good person. And that's not true. It is hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible does say that. And it is hard. Those that have been blessed with great wealth on this earth have a harder time of entering into the kingdom of heaven than those who do not have such great riches. But that does not mean there are not rich people who know the Lord. There are rich people, not that many. You know, the Bible said it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter. But there are rich people that do love the Lord like we love the Lord. And then there are some poor people, they love the Lord like we love the Lord. But there are also some poor people who hate the Lord. So just money does not measure a person's love for God. So in our scripture today, we'll see chapter 16, verse 1, starts out talking about a certain rich man. And we've already studied about him. He started out real good, but his ending, we found out his life, he was a crook and he was stealing. And he was getting things in an unrighteous manner. Even though he had what appeared to be great wealth, he got it by stealing, by conniving, by manipulation. And then he died. On the other side of the coin, we could say, also in Luke chapter 16, we'll find out and we'll be reading on this evening about this poor man. We're going to contrast a poor man and a rich man. And the thing in common with both of them is both of them died. And then things flipped around and turned around. So this passage we'll be looking at today is still continuing with talking about when it's all said and done. When you come to the how you live your life, how you live your life and who you serve. That's what it's all about. How you live your life down here and who you serve, and who you serve is first, and how you live your life will determine your life after death. And the quality of life on earth, as we'll see with Lazarus, his quality of life on earth, we wouldn't want to trade places with him, not before death, but after death, oh yeah, we'd rather be in Lazarus's state. So things above the grave, before death, are not the true value of a person. That will be measured by God and by that person's walk with the Lord. And so we'll be studying on today Luke 16, primarily verses 19 to the end of the chapter. I will say, and this is, by the way, I did not plan on saying it, there's a couple of people in our class, Brother BJ, and I assume his wife Beverly, that had a question and wanted to talk to me further about Luke chapter 16, verses 14 through 18. I think that's right, Brother BJ and Beverly. And if I happen to forget to say sister or brother, you all don't charge that to my heart. And I plan on having a Zoom call with them sometime this week. I don't know. We'll get it together on the date and the time. If you are interested also in joining in with us, you are more than welcome to do so. So I will, if you're interested, let me know. Please let me know. And that way I won't send out a Zoom invitation to everybody. I'll just send out one to those who are interested. Okay. So that will be sometime this week on passages in Luke and perhaps other passages in the Bible. It will be no longer than an hour. Okay. So let's go on now in our study from Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, let's start out by reading our passage. Now, we're going to read verses 19 to the end, but we will not be able to cover that entire passage today. So I know that this will be at least a two-part study, and it could be longer because there's a lot of terminology. There's a lot of things that could be said, but this is not going to be a big study on Gehenna and Hades and all of that. I will mention it in general, but we have to keep moving through Luke. And there's always, as I said, more that could be said. So our readers for today is from Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. I think it's Brother BJ, is that right?
That is correct.
And you'll read verses 19 through
24.
Okay, and then after him will be Sister Sharon Young, and she will read verses. Help me, Sharon. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, 25 to 31.
Okay, so when it's your time to read, you all just go ahead and read. We're going to start reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Let's start at verse 19, Brother BJ.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.
We say amen to the word of God. What amen. A word.
Amen.
Okay, so we see, as we have been seeing from previous chapters, that this passage still ties up, and this is one of the great themes of the Bible. One reason God gave us his word is to call sinners to repentance. And that's what God is about, is one thing that why Jesus came, is that we might be saved and that we might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so this passage that we just read, even though it has a lot of other things in it we'll be talking about, it ends on repentance, turning to God. Turning to God, and it has to be done, this repentance, the turning towards God, away from sin, must be done before death. That's something that every person is responsible for before death. And so we're going to be looking at issues in this passage that happen before death, after death, life and death situations. Now, I need to start out by saying most of you know this, but I cannot assume that everyone knows it. There are at least two Lazaruses in the Bible. Only two that I know about. I didn't get out my Strong's Concordance to look. But there are two different men in the Bible named Lazarus. The first Lazarus, you hear him preached about a lot. And he actually shows up in the Gospel according to John. And he may be in other Gospels too. But the Lazarus that we most hear about was the brother of Martha and Mary. I think I have that right. And he's the one that had died. And remember, the sisters came and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." Well, they were talking about that Lazarus. This passage that we're in Luke chapter 16, is another Lazarus. So we don't want to confuse the two Lazaruses. So we're talking about Lazarus the beggar. And that would be a title given to him, is Lazarus the beggar. Let me find out he didn't remain a beggar forever. So I wanted to make that distinction for some who don't know that, didn't know that, that there are two Lazaruses in the Bible. We're talking about the one who was the beggar. And so this passage we're looking at, I like to give out outlines. So we see in the outline today will be from verses 19 to the end of the chapter. Now, my outline is a very broad, but it's complete, I would say, a complete outline. It starts out with, and I have it written here because I want to say it like I have it, like the Lord gave it to me. The outline of this passage is things that happen before death. We're going to meet up with life before death. All right. And then number two, at death. Then there's the time of death. And then number three, logically, would be after death. And that's what's in this passage, is things that happen before death, at death, and after death. Now, some may think, well, this is a dark subject. I'm not sure I want to hear all this. Well, actually, this subject we all need to hear, because it is appointed unto all of us, unto man, once to die. And after that, the judgment is something that each one of us are going to have to face. Each of us is going to have to face sooner or later. And it's sooner than we think, actually. I mean, this is another day we have lived today. This day is almost gone, and it's going to give way to another day. And one day, the days will end. So you may say, well, this is a very dark passage, but actually I see in it the love of God. The love of God is all throughout this passage, because God's love lets us know the truth. That's one thing about God. He's going to tell us the truth. And the truth about death, dying, at least the parts God wants us to know, because we still know in part, but the parts that God wants us to know, I as a Christian, now everyone does not believe this, but I as a Christian and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that he paid the price for sin. I believe he is and was and is and always will be the eternal Son of God. I believe that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. Jesus is God. I believe that. And there are three persons in the Godhead: God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that this Bible is true. I believe the Bible is the word of God to man. That's what I believe. Now, everyone, you know, everybody doesn't believe that. And so you have to have your own faith and your own conviction by the Spirit of God. Because I have blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You all know that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I know that. Well, someone would say, how do you know? Well, I know. That's the best I can say. You got to know it in your knower. I got that from Mrs. Way, Reverend Mrs. Mary Way. You got to know it in your knower. And how do you know? The Holy Ghost bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And I know that. And God has given many evidences that I am his child. Now, I'm saying that to say, the Bible, I believe, you know, you can find something to back up anything you want to believe. So you got to know with your own knower and have your own faith. That this Bible tells us the way to heaven. The Bible tells us the way to God. The Bible tells us how our sins can be forgiven. The Bible tells us what's going to happen at death, before death, not in fullness. We couldn't handle it. I mean, if we look back over this day, much less this week, we wouldn't believe all the things that happen in a day and a week, much less God tell us everything about the hereafter. But the love of God, and it's the love of God. I mean, the eternal love of God that would tell us there is a God to be served. There is a God to be feared. There's a God that we're going to all have to stand in front of and give an account. It is appointed unto man once to die. And that's the Bible said, one time to die. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. It doesn't teach evolution. It doesn't teach all this man's wisdom. It doesn't teach second chances. The Bible teaches it is appointed. And you know, I keep a calendar, and many of you keep calendars. We even had a calendar today for Zoom class, 6:30. That was on our calendar. Well, it is appointed, that's on God's calendar, a time and a date. It is appointed unto man once to die, once to die. So that does away with evolution and all that. Evolution, second chances, purgatory, a whole bunch of things. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So I'm prefacing all this to say that we rely, and there's all kind of books that you can buy with all kind of things on what happens after death. And I died 5 times, and this is what I saw. There's all kind of man-made stuff out there, fables, then, you know, all kinds of things. But the Bible is our source. Amen? So soul. Amen. Now, we're going to be looking at the things of before death, as I've said, at death, and after death. That's our outline. It is a very relevant subject because it applies to everyone, young and old. None of us know the time of our death. Thank God we don't. That's a good thing. We don't need to know when. But we do know it will happen, all right? So that's the reality. It will happen. And if you don't believe it will happen, every graveyard out there is a witness. It will happen. And every time we scratch an itch and all that stuff, it is happening. So let me go on with the passage here. We're going to look at two men in this passage. There are two main characters. One we will see is called the rich man, and he's in verse 19. And then there's the other man that we know as Lazarus. And as I've said, this is not Mary and Martha's sister. This is the other Lazarus. These are the two main characters. However, all of us are one of these two main characters. You're either in the family of the group that's going to end up with the Lord, or in the family of those that will be separated from the Lord eternally. So this passage sweeps up into it all of humanity. All of humanity is going to fall on one side or the other. You know, is life or death? Is saved or not saved? Is forever with the Lord or forever separated from the Lord? There's only two divisions, those broad divisions there. And what makes the difference? What determines which side you end up on? Well, Jesus. That's the determination. That's the cross there. The cross comes in and it's going to separate and divide the believers from the unbelievers. Okay, so let's start at verse 19. And let me go through this passage in our, we have about half an hour here. Verse 19. There was a certain man, even though we've already read it. Let me read again. There was a certain man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Okay, let's stop right there. So I think you can see the Bible's own outline. You can see before death. Well, what was going on before death? Now, the common denominator between both men is both died. That's the common denominator. They both died. Now, where they ended up after the death, that's determined by their faith in the Lord. So verse 19, we have this man here, and we know from scripture, it says he was a certain rich man. Now, some say this is a parable. Others say it is not. A parable meaning an earthly story about a spiritual truth. I personally, and I don't like to say too often what I personally believe, because what I personally believe a lot of times doesn't matter. But I do personally believe that we know Lazarus was a real man that lived on this earth. We know that because he is named. We are given his name. On the other hand, the rich man, which is in verse 19, we are not given his name. We don't know his name. And I still believe that was a certain rich man, just like it says. But many times in the Bible, for example, in chapter 16, verse 1, there was a certain rich man there. And then if you back up, my eye fell on chapter 15, verse 11. Then he said a certain man. So sometimes these certain men, a lot of times, the certain men are parables, you know, anonymous. But in this situation, in Luke chapter 16, we know one of these men really lived. It's historical. It happened in time and for eternity. So this certain rich man in Luke 16, verse 19, he was a man, okay, like we are people. He was a rich man. And as I have said before, just because he's rich does not mean he's evil. Like just because you're poor doesn't mean you're bad either. There are many poor people that are good people. There are many poor people that are bad people. You know, you got all kinds of categories in people. But there was this certain rich man. So we automatically picture him. He was rich. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fared sumptuously every day. So what do we know just from those verses about this man? Well, this man, and we need to contrast him. Let's contrast him to the next verse. Let's contrast, like black and white, okay, verse 20. Here comes the contrast, and that comes with the word but. Because usually when a but comes in scripture, it is a contrast. But there was a certain beggar, there's a contrasting word. There was a certain, there's that certain again, a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now let's stop right there. So we have our two men there, one very rich, and we don't want to run over that. How rich was he? Well, he was so rich that he was clothed in purple. Now purple, and I didn't do any study on purple, but purple, we know, is a royal color. Riches. Purple represents riches and royalty, and it's the blending together of blue and scarlet, and you get that purple. And this man, clothed in purple, and on top of that, now that's his clothing. And we look at his clothing because we're going to contrast him. We're contrasting him with the beggar. Now, this rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, right? So the Bible's not just putting in filler words. It wants us to think about it, meditate on it. This man, clothed in purple, this man had on fine linen. I mean, the best of the best. He had it, and he had it every day. You know, for me, and what I call fine linen don't hit nowhere near fine linen. You know, I don't even know what fine linen is. But this man had the best of the best, the finest of the finest, and he had it every day. Now, you know, some of you get out your special china and your special clothing, what we call our special. And our best of the best. And we use that occasionally. But I don't think not a one of us out here, and I don't know you, so if I'm wrong, you all, this your chance to speak up to say, oh yeah, I fare sumptuously every day. And I wear purple every day. I don't have none of that discount stuff in my house. Matter of fact, I don't have none of that stuff. What's a burger? I don't eat burgers. That's this man. He had the best of the best, the richest of the richest, every day. That's his life above the grave. And then now in contrast, verse 20, is this beggar. Now, I haven't, the best of beggars I have seen, and thank God he's kept me from being a beggar. That's by the grace of God. But I've seen, at least in part, a little picture of beggars. And we've seen them on the corners. We see people begging, but I know their begging takes place on wider scale than what we commonly see here in America. Now, this man here, he was this beggar, and we look at his situation. Now, you think of a beggar. Now, the beggars that we see, and Lord, help me and lead me, the beggars that we commonly see, I don't know where, I know there are true beggars. I know that. There are people that really are in need, and we see them. Now, we can't always determine, are they acting? Are they going to walk four blocks and get in a car? Because I've seen that. I've seen a car full get out, and they go their different ways, and they go begging. Then they all get back in the car. Well, we can't determine who the true, really beggars and people in need are. But we do know, we should know and be aware that there are true people in need. And we could be any of those people at any time, but by the grace of God. So this man, Lazarus, and by the way, we have his name. We get his name. His name is Lazarus. Well, why do we get his name and not the rich man's name? Part of it's the wisdom of God, but also God doesn't give any exaltation in death to this, he doesn't give any exaltation in death to the rich man who died. But for the beggar, which is Lazarus, when he died, we get his name because he was one of God's precious children. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so we find out the name of Lazarus, and we'll see he was one of God's children. So this beggar here, named Lazarus, well, what's his condition? It's totally opposite from the rich man. Lazarus, and we don't want to skip over any of these words, was full of sores. So I think of Job. You all remember Job. And Job ended up on that ash heap full of sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. That's what the book of Job tells us. Job was full of sores. Well, how did Lazarus get in that condition? We don't know what happened to him in life. He could have been a well-off man in life, and something changed in life. And something no doubt did change. Some people are born into poverty, however. But this man, full of sores, so we're picturing a diseased man. He's sick. He's diseased. He's helpless. He was laid at the gate. Somebody has some care to some degree for this man because somebody laid him at the gate. They couldn't help him, but they took him to the place where he could have received help. And they laid him at the gate. Well, we need to look at that word gate. Do you think the poor man had a gate? Who has gates around their houses? Some of you all might have a gate. Well, I just thought of my mom. She lives in a gated community. But this is another kind of gate. This is another kind of gate. Thank God for the gated community. But this gate here, you all seen people, rich people, and they have these elaborate gates around their properties. And that's the picture that I get with this man, how contrasting his life with the poor man. And so the rich man had a gate. He ate lavishly every day, whereas the beggar, he was full of sores, sick, helpless, couldn't help himself. He was laid at the gate. Whose gate? The rich man's gate. Why? So perhaps someone would have some compassion on him and give him help. But I also picture him being laid at the gate. And verse 21 tells us, desiring to be fed, they put him at that gate so someone could possibly have compassion on him and give him some food, which fell from the rich man's table. So just give me some crumbs. Just give me the leftovers. Just give me the garbage taken out. If I can just get the garbage, I'll be happy. And so this beggar laid at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed. Well, you know, we automatically know the man was hungry beyond any kind of hunger we can imagine. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The crumbs that fell. Crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Now, you know, there was some kind of crumbs falling, and the crumbs would be the garbage taken out. It wasn't like the poor man was actually sitting at the table. It would be the garbage taken out at night, or however they did it back then. And he was there for that, there, desiring to get that, but it doesn't say he received it. What it does say in verse 21, contrast at the end, moreover, the dogs came. The dogs came and licked his sores. Now, you can picture several things there. The dogs came, and instead of the man receiving food, from men, the man became food for the dogs. That's one way I see that. The man became the food for the dogs, because the dogs came and licked his sores. So they can tell us, on one hand, the dogs had more compassion for the man than the men did, the rich man. And don't think that rich man was alone. There was a lot of rich men around that man was faring sumptuously with every day. And they all stepped over that man. And we want to be consciously aware, Lord, help me and prompt me in my spirit. If there's someone you want me to help, Lord, let me know by your spirit, you know. And you can't always, you have to be even careful with that. Well, the spirit didn't lead me. You know, you have to be careful with that as well, even though we want to be led by the spirit. But sometimes that could be an excuse too. So this man, back to verse 21, the dogs came. They had more compassion for that man. But also that man was so sick. And that man I see so near death that the dogs could get that close to him. The dogs could get so close to him that the man didn't have the strength to brush him away. I see him at near death. Very sad situation. So verse 21, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was, verse 22, the story goes on. So it was that the beggar died. The beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Okay, so that's our out, part of our outline there, both men lived, but both men died. And did it matter that one was rich and one was not rich? Did it matter that one wore purple? Do you think that mattered in death, that you wore purple clothes, that you wore your name brand, whatever? Does that matter at death? No, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. We are given these things on this earth to be given, to be good stewards of what God has given us. We'll be held accountable for how we handle things and manage things that God gave us. But God's not going to say how many pairs of Gucci or whatever. How many pairs of Gucci shoes do you have? Do you think God cares about stuff like that? Not at all. But he does care about how we treat others and how we see others. And so verse 22, so it was, both of these men died. And death is the great common denominator. It's going to reduce everybody down. Doesn't matter your status in life. Doesn't matter what neighborhood you lived in or didn't live in. Doesn't matter how big your bank account was or wasn't. None of that matters at the point of death. And so what matters is, the determining factor is, where do you end up when you die? And how is that determined? That's determined by life now, how you live now before death. So both of these men died. The beggar died. Now, we need to talk about that word death for a moment. It's not a big study on death. But the word death, and here it says died. The beggar died. The rich man also died. Common denominator. Both died. All die in Adam. Except for those two, we know, Elijah and Enoch. But everybody else dies. The word die and death means separation. That's what death is. Death is a separation. What is separated? So if someone asks you, what does death mean? Well, death means to be separated. Well, what's separated? Well, then, without going to a long study on it, is man is three parts. The Bible tells us this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Man is comprised of spirit, soul, and body. A lot of times you'll hear people just say soul and body and they forget, they don't say the spirit. But there's spirit, soul, and body. That's the three components of man. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We know that body was laying on the earth, on the ground, made of the dust. God breathed into Adam the breath. And you know, we all breathe. Sinners breathe, and saints breathe. We all breathe. That's that breath of life that everybody has, whether you're saved or not saved, that breath. Well, at the point of death, what happens? That breath of life is separated from the body. The soul and the spirit, which you can't see, you can't taste it, is spirit and soul separated from the body. So these two men, they both die, the rich one and the poor one. Now think about, this is another contrast, and you all, I tell you, meditate on the word. Think about their funerals. You talk about a contrast. I'm sure that rich man, you all seen some of these elaborate funerals where it goes on and on, and all the processionals and all the caskets. I mean, even some of these caskets they're making nowadays are so elaborate and so fancy. The caskets, you know, and the entourage and and the food and the banqueting and all of that. When you picture the rich man, I'm sure his funeral was one for the ages. But who did it serve? Didn't serve anybody but the living for a little while. That man who died, that didn't help him at all. None of that. He couldn't eat none of that food or none of it. It did not matter. What mattered at that point was his relationship with the Lord. And so the point I'm trying to make here, Lord, help me, is both of these men died. And that will happen to all of us. We will die. But then we notice a separation happens. The separation is death. And that's what I just tried to say. Death means separation, where the spirit and the soul is separated from the body. The body, we know what happens to the body. Well, we know what happens to the body. Somebody got to bury that body. That body is still on this earth, but it's been separated from the spirit and the soul. And that's what goes on to either be with the Lord or to end up in Hades or hell. There's the grave, the burial. That's the burial has to do with a body. Burials are for bodies. The non-material part of man, spirit and soul, has gone on to be where it's going to be eternally, right? So these men in verse 22, it was the beggar died. And what happened to him? Now here comes separation now. The beggar died. That's the good man. That's the righteous man. Didn't look like it when he was laying at that gate with the dogs licking on him. That's why we can't judge people on the outward appearances. Because it looked like, oh, he must have did something really bad in his life. He got dogs licking on him. Ugh, yuck. You know, who knows what happened to that man? But what we do know in verse 22, that when he died, praise God, here comes the great flip. You know, it's going to turn around. You know, and death's going to turn around a lot of things. Some people thinking they're going to end up in glory and ain't going to end up in glory. And others thinking they're going to be in hell and they're going to find themselves in glory. There's going to be a great flip-flop, as it were. Now, verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried. He was carried, you all, by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, that sound mighty good to me, whatever it means. You could do your own study on Abraham's bosom, but just for now, that's a good place to be, because he wasn't dropped off at no gate. He wasn't dropped off and having dogs licking. When that man died, absent from the body, now this is before Jesus died. I'm quoting the scripture, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But that's before Christ died. After Jesus died, there was some difference in there. But still the point being made here, absent from the body, present somewhere. You're either going to be present in Abraham's bosom or you're going to be present and end up in verse 23 in torments. So that's what happened here. So verse 22, both men die. And then the real state of the person, none of that outward house mattered. None of that food mattered. None of that stuff mattered at death. What mattered was his relationship with God. And so verse 22, it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And you know that man, oh, happy day for that man. He was free. He was free from his sickness. He was free from disease. He was free from people looking at him and talking about him, acting like he was garbage. This man was free. And he was cared for, loved by God. Abraham's, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And that's the place to be. the good place, God's place. Thank you, Catherine. God's place. The rich man, now here's a contrast. The rich man, he also died and was buried. Buried in the grave. Buried. But it didn't end there. It did not end with the burial. Both of them ended up in another place. And so death is a transition. Death is either going to move you into the eternal state with God in glory, or else death is going to move you into the eternal state of torment, eternally separated from God. So the great divider is death, okay? It divides. So we only have about 4 minutes here. Let's go on a little further into verse 23. And I encourage you all to do your own reading, your own studying, your own meditating. It's a big topic. It's more than I'm going to cover in this Bible class, but at least we're going to touch some of it. Verse 23. Now, this is after the rich man, he also died and was buried. Blanc put him in the grave. But that wasn't the end of him. And being in torments, and notice the time frame. There is no delay. It wasn't like, well, after so-and-so happened, after the funeral, and after so-and-so visits the house, and after a resurrection, and there will be a resurrection, but it wasn't any delay. It's instantaneously that after death, that the beggar ended up in Abraham's bosom. Instantaneously, after death, the rich man ended up in torments. And notice in verse 23, and being in torments, that torments is the predominant word now that's going to show up over and over again, is torments. And it's contrasting what? It's contrasting the word Abraham's bosom, carried. So opposite of being carried into Abraham's bosom is being buried. Being buried, and verse 23, and being in torments, that word torments. And we notice the word torments, and I'm going to say this and then we have to end. First, the word torment is the predominant word, in at least with the New King James Version. Verse 23, torments with an S. Then you go on down to verse 24, and it shows up in all of these verses. Verse 24, tormented in this flame. Verse 25, tormented. And there's the contrast in verse 25. Now he is comforted. That's talking about Lazarus. And you are tormented. And then it goes on, verse 28, the last word is torment. And then all of this is said that men might repent. And that's in verse 30. It's about God's love. It's about God saying to all of us, like the man who ended up in hell, the rich man, all of a sudden he had compassion for his brothers. All of a sudden he wanted to be evangelist and tell people, don't come here. Well, that's what we should be doing now as Christians, is warning people there is a heaven and a God, there's a heaven, but there is a hell as well. Don't fool around and your soul be lost. Jesus came to pay the price for sin so we can hear, like Jesus told, I think it was Stephen, today you shall be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Truly, it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's a good enough light to carry us all the way from earth to glory. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, shine on me and take me all the way and keep us on the narrow path, Lord. For many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, and you will say to many, I don't know you. Well, we don't want that to be said of us. We want to hear you say, well done. Now be with us through the week, Lord. Keep us in your care. We love you, love you, love you for your great love for us and all of humanity by sending Jesus to pay the price for sin. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
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 Our time is up. 7:30. God bless each one of you. I hope to meet with you again. Lord willing, next Sunday I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
God bless everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great Bye-bye. Week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Teaching.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless everyone.
Yes.
Thank you.
I didn't recognize that. Thank you. Whoever iPhone said thank you.
The boy in London, England.
Who was it?
The boy in England, London.
Oh, well, we are so glad you identified yourself. This is in London. And what's your name again?
Deborah.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to know London is in the house. Have you been with us? Have you been with us often?
I'm with you every week. I missed last week because I fell asleep because you start at 12:30 my time now.
Okay.
However, I'm with you the majority of the time, yeah.
Okay, and you show up as iPhone. Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad you're with us and we're glad to know you're with us. God bless you and have a great week. Y'all pray for, there's a lot to pray for. Our world needs prayer. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm going to sign off.
A beautiful study. I love your study.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cheryl, you had a death in your family. And I know there's, was it a death, Cheryl, secret?
No, I think it's her sister was in the hospital.
Was in the hospital.
And she's out now.
She's out now. Well, yeah, we're praying for you and your family.
Thank you, Thelma.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.